Let's bring in our esteemed guest, the International Boxing Hall of Famer, the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Famer, the Chicago Hall of Famer. What did I forget, Al? I know there's probably about 16 other ones that I forgot. Come on, you don't have to be modest. Let's go.
There's a few other ones, but the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame and the Southern Nevada Hall of Fame. We'll leave those as the important ones, since we're all proud Nevadans.
Now, Al, do you think that, are you in any food-eating Hall of Fame?
I am not, no.
Okay.
Though you and I could enter it.
Exactly.
We would put our credentials up for that one, but I'm not in any of those.
Speaking of which, I'm going to digress. So I was talking to the organizer of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July and today, and they were asking me if I would actually want to try to qualify for that because they know my love for hot dogs. But you know, there's a caveat there, Al. As you and I know, I'm only a big hot dog fan if it's a Vienna hot dog, the Chicago Vienna dogs, because that's the ultimate gold medalist, as we know, in the world of hot dogs. I don't think I could do the Nathan's, because in my opinion, Al, Nathan's is like the silver medalist. Maybe Hebrew National, the bronze medalist, and Chris Chapman's looking at me saying, where's Sabret on your list? Well, it doesn't make the list.
I'm biased because I am a Chicagoan. I agree with you. I think Chicago dogs are the best. And I agree, Nathan's would probably be the silver medalist. I've now ruined any chance I have of getting an endorsement deal with Nathan's, that's for sure.
You Chicago guys put way too much stuff on your hot dogs, though. Poppy seed bun,
wait, peppers. That's not on the hot dog? That's not on the hot dog. No, the poppy seed bun is the staple.
But like you have the peppers and all that other stuff. You put way too much stuff on your hot dogs.
Al, you handle this one, please, Al.
You can tailor it. You can tailor it to what you want. I don't eat the peppers, but I do like the tomato and the pickles and all the other stuff. So, but to each his own, you know, you can, I get it. It's kind of like the argument of New York pizza and New York and Chicago pizza.
See,
it'll go on forever.
I do like Chicago pizza. Deep dish pizza is fantastic.
And back to tailoring our dogs, I'm a mustard and grilled onions guy. That's what I.
Oh, that's good.
And it's a great combination, especially with the poppy seed bun. But I'm like you, Al. I don't care really for, you know, the peppers or the other stuff as well too. So
yeah, given the fact that we're going to be talking about Andy Ruiz in a few moments, I'm sure Andy has had a couple of Chicago dogs along the way.
There's no doubt about it. All right, so let's talk about this. Andy Ruiz, the new heavyweight champion, the first Mexican-born heavyweight champion of the world. This is what round number 7 sounded like.
And now the barrage, the champ's in trouble, and down he goes.
Four.
Third knockdown of the fight.
Six.
For Ruiz.
Seven. Eight. You're going to pick up your hands? Put your mouthpiece there. Come off the rope. Box.
Well, not quite a wink, but he flashes his eyebrows. He better throw his hands. The champ is in trouble.
Look for an overhand right here, Brian.
Joshua with the hard jab. Trying to answer, but he's taking him down again. Wow. Joshua looks gassed.
Four.
Mouthpiece came flying out of his mouth.
Six. Seven. Eight.
He's been down 4 times.
Hey, turn around. You can't.
Joshua turning to his corner. He's got to be careful here.
Go.
He's got to stay engaged.
Okay.
Where
you
is his
break.
Mouthpiece?
You ready to box?
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out.
That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
And that's the way Brian Kenny and Sergio Mora called the action on DAZN. So, Al, I know you saw the fight. A lot to get to here. First and foremost, do you think it was a fair stoppage?
Yeah, I think it was okay. Clearly, Joshua was not looking like he was anxious to continue. He stayed with his hands on the ropes. The referee was trying to give him an opportunity to engage, as Brian Kenny mentioned, take his hands off the ropes and look like he wanted to participate. He didn't, and so I don't think it was inappropriate. And I don't think there was that much of a hue and cry from Joshua about it.
Where does this rank, in your opinion, on the list of boxing's biggest upsets?
Well, I think it's in line with when Haseem Rahman and Oliver McCall upset Lennox Lewis, probably the Haseem Rahman fight. You know, it's not in Tyson Douglas land. It's one of the bigger heavyweight upsets. But most people in the sport understood that Andy Ruiz was a good fighter and that it was not impossible for him to win. And I think part of the reason why the odds were a little higher, too, is because of him taking the fight on late notice and not only having 6 weeks to train. But I think it's a big upset. It's a very big upset. And again, on the lines of Rahman Lewis, not quite, not at the level of Douglas and Tyson for sure.
Let's talk about what you just mentioned about Andy Ruiz taking the fight on 6 weeks' notice. You know, he was mocked for the way he looked, 270 pounds, his physique, all that stuff. And, you know, he was with Top Rank for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that Top Rank dropped him, but Al Haymon ended up picking him up. So let's go back to how he got this fight with Anthony Joshua.
Well, let's remember that he has had one loss in his career. That was to Joseph Parker. Could have gone either way, and that was Andy Ruiz's. That was where Top Rank got him to that world championship opportunity, and has not had an opportunity to fight a lot of the main contenders. So we've been unable to ascertain where he's at, though Parker went the distance with Joshua, and Joseph Parker's a quality heavyweight, and again, very close, controversial decision. He got this fight because he begged Eddie Hearn via Instagram that he should get this fight. He said, "I'm your guy." He said, I only have one loss. That was controversial. I'm a legit heavyweight." And they went along with it. And he prepared as best he could in 6 weeks. And obviously, it was enough. And Ruiz, you know, coming into the fight, I mean, my take on the fight was that he would be a problem for Joshua for about 5 or 6 rounds, and then maybe Joshua's power might take over. Obviously, that was not the case. Joshua did knock him down with that very short, compact left hook, but Ruiz not only sustained well through that, came back almost, you know, within 30 seconds when Joshua got overly zealous in trying to knock him out and got wild. He came back with that beautiful counter left hook that to the temple, and that changed the entire fight.
Joshua went down twice in the third round, and then twice again in the seventh, which we just heard with our audio from Saturday night. So let me ask you this, Al. We've talked so much about Anthony Joshua, but a lot of the American public had not really seen much of him before. You've called many of his fights. He was 22-0 with 22 knockouts coming into this fight. Question is, was he overhyped, overrated? And it's hard to say some guy's overrated when he's 22-0 with 22 knockouts, but when a guy goes down four times, the question has to be asked, was he overhyped a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. You can't, you know, somebody's body of work doesn't just go away when they have a bad night. He had a terrible night. Not only was, Andy Ruiz was really good, and I give him all the credit for winning this fight. Clearly, though, it was not a stellar effort by Joshua. Some of that was caused by Andy Ruiz. So he had a bad night. I viewed Anthony Joshua in all his other fights. He was a fighter who did have some vulnerabilities in terms of getting knocked down. It happened a couple of times. It happened against Klitschko. He was stunned against Dillian White. Povetkin had him rocked for a moment or two. But it wasn't as if we looked at him and said he's damaged goods in any way. He's a really good heavyweight who at that point had beaten everybody in front of him. So it's wrong to diminish every single thing he did before, but it is right to say clearly Anthony Joshua's brand took a hit with this. And the only way he can restore that brand or take a big step toward restoring it is by beating Ruiz in what would presumably be a rematch they'll have because it was in the contract for a rematch, and doing it decisively. He needs to knock Andy Ruiz out if he's to restore the damage that's been done to his brand.
Al Bernstein, join us, Showtime Championship Boxing. So let me ask you this. He now has four belts. You're saying that there's going to be a rematch with Joshua. Do you think that's going to be immediate?
Good question. The question would be whether Joshua wants it right away, too. Andy Ruiz, will he decide that he can beat Andy Ruiz right away in a rematch? That's a very, very interesting question for Joshua to answer. Andy Ruiz has other options. You know, he's promoted by PBC. He won't get Wilder because Wilder is committed to fighting Ortiz, and then he's committed to fighting Fury. But there's a very interesting fight looming out there for Andy Ruiz. Adam Kosnowski, who is a Polish heavyweight who is right in line for a title shot, could help Andy Ruiz fill up the Barclays Center. And they would produce a fight that I absolutely, mark this down, I guarantee you, will be a fight of the year candidate. It will be a brawl. It will be wild. And it will be a great, great fight. Two guys that don't look like Anthony Joshua at all, but are rough, tough heavyweights who will give it their all in a fight. So the interesting thing is there's another fight out there for Ruiz that he can make a lot of money on, even without Deontay Wilder. So if Joshua decides he doesn't want to do that rematch right away, Andy Ruiz is not without options that are interesting.
There's always been skepticism and questions regarding the heavyweight division, and we just talked about it last week, you know, prior to this fight, because everyone wanted Joshua Wilder, and then now we're not going to get Joshua Wilder. So does this upset actually hurt, or does it help the heavyweight division?
Oh, I think it. Look, I've been on six radio shows today doing talking about a fight that nobody would have asked me to be on the radio if Joshua had won the fight. So I think it is. It injects all kind of spice into the heavyweight division. The fact that Wilder made his date with Fury for early 2020 to me is a big game changer, because it shows that two of the three major fighters in the heavyweight division were willing to fight each other, and that takes away some of the stigma. And now we have another player involved there's three heavyweight fights that we now all can't wait to see. Ruiz and Joshua in their rematch, much at stake. A Wilder against Luis Ortiz, because not only was that an interesting fight the first time and Ortiz had Wilder hurt, but now everything's on the line because he's announced that he's going to fight Fury after that. Well, he has to win for that Fury fight to be a big fight. So, and then, of course, the Fury-Wilder fight. So we now have three different heavyweight fights that are exceptionally meaningful, can extend on beyond the sport of boxing to casual boxing fans, casual sports fans. And so I would say that's all good for the sport.
So with these six interviews you've done on six different shows, Al, where does this rank? Is this at the top, number one for you?
T.C. Martin is always at the top of every radio show that I do. That will always be the case, because you come to the Tuscany to see me sing.
Absolutely. There he is, Al Bernstein.